Open your Bibles again, as we did last week, to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start with one verse there, same verse that we used last week. And then I'll just quickly review what we covered last week and then finish up tonight on the subject, why I am a Baptist, why I am a Baptist. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And again, I mentioned last week that I think that verse is mainly talking about why we have hope, and that hope comes because we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and we're on our way to heaven. We're not in this world alone. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we can hope regardless of what's going on. A lot of people at work today were worried because General Motors sank below $10 a share for the first time in I don't know how long. And I had somebody come in and ask me, and he said, "You worried?" I said, "Nope. I never depended on it in the first place. I don't depend on it now. I got a God that's going to take care of me. I don't care if it goes to nothing. I hope it doesn't go to nothing. It'd wipe out my 401k, but I'm not dependent on General Motors or my 401k. I'm depending on a God that's God in the good times and the bad, and he'll take care of us in the good times and the bad, and I'm just going to trust him. And so I'm not going to worry. I have a hope, a blessed hope. And again, it's not based on anything in this world. It's based on something that's bigger than this world, that's stronger than this world, and that's God. And so we always need to be able to tell people why we have that hope. And when things don't look good and when things look bleak, we can still be a hopeful people because we have God. And I think this verse can also be applied, as we were talking about last week, we need to be able to tell people why we believe like we do. And so the reason for the subject, why I am a Baptist. And last week I made three introductory comments. I said a person can be a Christian and not be a Baptist, and there will be some Baptists that won't be in heaven. And I based that on the fact that you don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist. You go to heaven because you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we're going to talk about a little bit more of that tonight. So a person can be a Christian and not be a Baptist, and some Baptists won't make it to heaven. I said, number two, Baptists are not Protestants. And we talked about that last week. They're not. They didn't come out of that branch. They came out of their own branch. Baptists have always believed this book and stood for this book. And then I said, number three, I don't believe the Baptist doctrine because I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine. I'm not a Baptist because my mom and dad and grandpa and grandma were, or that I went to a Baptist church when I was a kid. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrines are based on this book, and that's what I want to be. So I gave you 2 points last week. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine, that the Bible is the only standard for our faith and practice. Bible's all we need. We don't need any other book. Don't need any other thing. We just need to follow the Bible. That's a Baptist doctrine. And I'm a Baptist, number two, because I believe the Baptist doctrine of liberty of the human soul. We get to decide for ourselves. God gave us that ability to make our own decisions. Now, he's going to hold us accountable for those decisions. But Baptists believe that each individual has the liberty to decide what they're going to do with Jesus, what they're going to do with God. And so I'm going to give you 8 more reasons tonight. We're going to try to get done at the normal time. So here we go. Number three, I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine of spiritual regeneration. That means, in simple terms, nobody goes to heaven unless they get born again. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." The only way to get into heaven, the only way to have your sins forgiven, the only way to get right with God is to be born again by Jesus Christ. In the same chapter of John, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You don't go to heaven because you get baptized. You don't go to heaven because you take the Lord's Supper. You don't go to heaven because your mom and dad were a Christian. You don't go to heaven because you come to church. You go to heaven because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross to save us. And if we believe that and accept it, we get born again and we get to go to heaven. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You can get baptized hundreds of times. You can have your name on 100 church rolls. You can take communion every single week. You can take communion every single day. And if you're not saved, baptism, communion, church membership, a good life, whatever you want to add to that list, it won't get you to heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Baptists believe that the only way to get right with God and to go to heaven is to believe and get born again. And you get born again by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for us. I'm a Baptist because there ain't no other way to heaven than to get born again. Number four, I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine that the only two ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper, and they are both symbolic. Neither one of them have anything to do with salvation. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper paint pictures for us of what Jesus did and what we're doing when we come to him. He said in Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And again, baptism is only a picture of what's happened in our life. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says this, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Every time I baptize somebody, I always say the same thing. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, baptism doesn't add anything to salvation. It pictures what happens. We have died with Christ, and we are resurrected to a new way of life to walk with him. That's all it is. It's a picture. When a little boy or a little girl gets saved, and I talk to them about baptism, I always stress the point. I said, you're as saved right now as you ever will be. If you die right now and go to heaven, you will go to heaven even if you're not baptized. Now, baptism is a good way to tell everybody else what you've done. It's a first step of obedience that we ought to take when we get saved. You are identifying with Christ. You are saying, I'm on his team. I put my faith and my trust in him. And my old way of life is buried with him, and I am resurrected to a new way of life. Many of you heard the last couple of days or the last week or so Terry talk about this young man that a friend's son that committed suicide. And the family didn't know anything about the Lord, didn't have a Bible in the house until the UAW gave him one. And Terry went to the funeral and then went to the dinner afterwards. And he witnessed to the family and comforted the family. And the preacher didn't get to go to the funeral dinner, so they asked Terry to offer thanks at the funeral dinner. And he did. And he said he had a guy come up to him and said, Pastor, thank you for offering those thanks. Now, and I just thought to myself, and Brother Leonard, this Brother Leonard back here and I were talking about it, I think, on either Friday or Sunday. If you knew Terry 3 or 4 years ago and then have somebody say that about him, you would say, it's impossible. Not the same guy. Must have two different people. Maybe they're lookalikes, but it's two different people. And to see the change that God has wrought in his life. I told somebody, I think it was Brother Leonard, I said, you know, that's why I do what I do. I mean, to me, when I see a little child come to know Jesus, it makes everything that's connected with this job worth it. And when I see God change people, change them, bury that old way of life to have a new way of life, it makes everything, again, that goes along with this, it makes it worthwhile. I mean, you know, everything you got to go through is being a pastor. When you see a little one come to know Christ as their Savior, and when you see God change somebody's life, you say, man, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And so, again, baptism is just a picture. The Lord's Supper is just a picture. We're gonna have Lord's Supper this Sunday because it's the first Sunday of the month. I always have my Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." There are some churches that believe that the Lord's Supper is more than that. That you've got to take communion in order to keep your salvation. Baptists don't believe that. We believe it's something that God gave us to remember what he did for us as his body was broken and his blood was shed so that we could be saved. And every time we take the Lord's Supper, that's what we're showing others. We're showing others that Jesus did go to the cross, his body was broken, his blood was shed so that we could be saved. So again, both the ordinances are pictures of what's happened. They're symbols. They have nothing to do with salvation. Number five, I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine that the ordinance of baptism means immersion, and it comes after salvation, again, as a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. For baptism, you got to have three things. You got to have somebody that's been saved. You got to have the proper mode, which means immersion. And then you got to have the proper authority, the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 8, many of you know the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. A lot of the modern translations leave out verse 37, where the Bible says, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And the verse they leave out is, well, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can. Because they ascribe more to baptism than should be there. Again, baptism is after somebody is saved. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It's a picture of what's happened. Paul told the Ethiopian eunuch, hey, you can be baptized if you trusted Christ. And he said, I have. So they got out of the chariot and they went down into the water. Now, if there was some other way to be baptized other than immersion, they wouldn't have had to go on down into the water. I mean, I said Paul, I meant Philip. Philip could have reached down there and just taken a few little water out of the creek or the pond or whatever it was that they were there and sprinkled the Ethiopian eunuch. That's not how it worked. They went down into the water. And then in Acts chapter 8, it says, when they came up out of the water, Philip disappeared and the Ethiopian eunuch didn't see him anymore. The only way you can come up out of the water is to go down into the water. And you don't go down into the water when you get sprinkled. You go down into the water when you get dunked. And so I'm a Baptist because I believe that our method of baptism, immersion, is the Bible way of baptism. If it wasn't, it would have been John the Sprinkler instead of John the Baptist. John baptized. He dunked them all the way underneath the water. And he didn't sprinkle them. Look, by the way, because baptism is a picture of what's happened, that's why we don't baptize babies. Because babies have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, babies don't know that they're a sinner. I mean, they're born with a sin nature, but when they're that young, they don't know that they're a sinner. And so you can't baptize them because there's nothing to picture. They haven't received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, we don't dedicate babies. I mean, a lot of people think we dedicate babies. You've never seen me dedicate a baby. I dedicate their parents or their grandparents to raise them for the Lord.
Look, if I believed that baptizing babies would get them into heaven, I'd hire somebody to go to every maternity ward, and when they could get to that baby, baptize them. Because I'd want them, if that's what it takes to go to heaven, that's what we do. We'd have somebody in every maternity ward when that baby, we could get to him or her, we'd baptize them. But that's not the way it works. Baptizing babies just gets their head wet, doesn't have anything to do with their salvation. Again, they don't know they're a sinner until they reach that age of accountability. But so, it's getting saved and then getting baptized under the authority of the New Testament church. That's what Philip was operating. He said, well, he was out in the wilderness. He baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, he did it because he was sent by the church. And he baptized in with the church's authority. All right, number six. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine of religious liberty and separation of church and state. Not the way it's being taught today. The way it's being taught today is that the church and Christians should not have anything to do with the government. That's not what's in the Constitution. What's in the Constitution is that the government won't tell the church how to operate. It won't establish a state church. It won't give preference to one church over another. That's what's in the Constitution. We've got it backwards. The ACLU has decided that they're going to interpret the Constitution. They got a bunch of judges that have agreed with them that says Christians don't have any right to meddle in the government. And that's exactly a direct opposite of what our forefathers wanted. They wanted Christians involved in government. I mean, if they get their way, we're going to have to sandblast every public building that's in Washington, D.C., because every public building has something to say about God. Every single one of them. I mean, this nation was built on Christians at the center of government. And you that know any little bit about history know what I'm saying is true. It was built by Christians on the Bible with looking to heaven to get God's guidance. And we as Baptists believe there ought to be a separation of church and state, but it's the government staying out of the church, not the other way around. Now, we'll comply, I was going to say maliciously, but that's not the right word. We will comply so that all of us don't get thrown in jail. I mean, I think I ought to have a right as the pastor, as a Christian, to preach about, and well, not preach, but to guide you in elections. Can't do that. We'll lose our tax exemption. So I'm quiet. I'll tell you that you ought to vote on for the person, not the party. You ought to vote on how he or she stands on the issues. Do they reflect God in those issues? But in our history, there have been preachers that have stood in their pulpits and said, you ought to vote for this guy because he's a Christian and seeks to honor God, and this guy's an infidel, don't vote for him. That's what used to happen. Doesn't happen today. But I'm a Baptist because I believe in the separation of church and state, and we have religious liberty. Number seven, I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine of converted church membership. That means you don't get to be a member of a church until you get saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here's the order it comes in. Salvation, baptism, church membership. If you get it out of order, it's wrong. It's salvation, baptism, church membership. All right, number eight. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine of the autonomy of the local church. I believe that the local church, and this is what Baptists believe, and that's why I'm a Baptist, I believe that the local church is autonomous. There is no outside person or outside organization that tells us what to do. Jesus is the head and Lord of our church. This book is our guidebook. I am the under-shepherd, but nobody else tells us what to do. We give our missions through the Southern Baptist Convention. But the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't tell us what to do. We support the association, but the association doesn't tell us what to do. Brother Marcus, as our associational missionary, has come to our service on numerous occasions. He has never, ever told me what to do. Never. In the past, we've had some people that from our church that have gone to him and say, you ought to tell the pastor to get right on this issue. I know. He's told me. He said, Brother Darrell, I'm not going to tell you a thing. That's not my responsibility. I have no authority to tell you what to do. I will tell you that some of your members are coming to me and telling me what I ought to tell you, and I say, it's not my job. Sorry. Talk to the Lord about it if you got a problem with your pastor. Talk to him. Don't talk to me. And so we don't get orders from Nashville. We don't get orders from wherever the associational building is. We don't get orders from Fenton, where the state convention is. I don't get letters in the mail telling me what to preach. I don't have a book of sermons. Say on this Sunday you need to preach this one, and on this Sunday you need to preach this one. The Holy Spirit tells me what to preach. And I try in all cases to do what the Holy Spirit says. Sometimes I'm stubborn. He has to beat me across the head. Sometimes, like Brother Leonard was telling me, you don't tell me what to preach until I start preaching. But he's the one I'm going to follow, and nobody else. And I'm a Baptist because I don't believe anybody outside the local church should tell the local church what to do, how to run its business. Number 9. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine of the priesthood of every believer. Every believer is the priest. Every believer can go direct to God. Revelation chapter 1, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. If you're saved tonight, you're a priest. Think back to the Old Testament. Think back to the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, or the temple in the Holy of Holies. Once a year, only the high priest could go in and go before the mercy seat where the presence of God dwelt and be with God, come into his presence. If you tried to go in there without being the high priest, they would stop you and probably kill you. In fact, God would probably kill you because only the high priest, that was his rule. That was his regulation. Only the high priest came into the Holy of Holies. And sometimes the high priest, when they went in, if they didn't do it right, God killed them. In fact, if you study, when the high priest on the Day of Atonement went into the Holy of Holies, there were bells on the bottom of his garment, and they had a rope tied around his foot. And if they heard the bells quit jingling, they knew the high priest must have messed up, and God killed him, and they pulled him out with the rope. Now, you think I'm kidding, but that's the way it was. I mean, only the high priest could go in. He had to do it exactly the right way that God told him to do. If he didn't, he was punished. And there were some high priests that died in the Holy of Holies because they were trying to do something that God didn't tell them to do. Now, just think about that. And think about today, you and I are high priests. And in a sense, we get to go into the Holy of Holies and stand before the mercy seat of God and talk to God directly. We pray in Jesus' name, but he's God. I don't have to go through anybody to pray. I don't have to go to anybody to confess my sins. I mean, I don't have to go to get somebody's permission to go to God. I mean, I can go in, and you can too. You're a high priest. Just think about that. Baptist doctrine. You have a direct line to God. You can go into his presence at any time. When Jesus died on the cross, remember what happened in the temple? The veil between the holy and the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom, like somebody tore it from the top, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, signifying that because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, because of his death and his suffering of our hell for us, that we have access to God. We can go into the Holy of Holies. Baptist doctrine, that's why I'm a Baptist. Number 10, I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine of eternal security. You know, the one thing that I can't understand is why some people would claim the name of Baptist and don't believe in eternal security. I mean, this book teaches that once we get saved, we're saved forever. Forever and ever. There's no, and I know, you know, people argue, well, you think they really got saved. The Bible says, I'm not to judge. I mean, if you ask Jesus to be your Savior and trust him, you're saved. That's what the Bible says. I'm a simple person. I just believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to get into arguing about, well, do you think they really meant it? How do I know? I don't know. Don't you think you see some fruit in their life? Well, yeah, I think the Bible says after we get saved, you know, God makes some changes. But for some people, it may take a long time. For others, they may change overnight. And I just can't understand people that call themselves Baptists doubting this Baptist doctrine, this Bible doctrine of eternal security. Let me just give you a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. John chapter 10, Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm a Baptist because I believe this book that says once I get saved, I am saved forever. I don't have to hang on to it. I don't have to earn it every day. I am saved because not because of anything that I did, am doing, or will do. I am saved because of what Jesus already did. That's it. And I truly feel sorry for people that think they got to earn their salvation every day, that they got to hang on to it. How unsettling that must be. How do you know if you're good enough? Did I cross the line today? I mean, I'm Baptist because I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Doesn't give you a license to sin. Say, and I've had that argument used on, oh, you Baptist, you think you're always saved, you can do anything you want. No, I don't. I believe I got a Father in heaven that will chastise me if I disobey him. And I love him so much, I don't want to disobey him. I want to please him. Now, maybe when I first started out, I did it just like I did my dad because I didn't want to get whooped. But I try to obey my dad today because I love him and want to please him. And the same thing with God. When we first start out and we're learning all about him, maybe it's because we don't want to get whooped. But once you get to know him and love him, you want to please him. So I'm a Baptist because I believe in eternal salvation. Eternal life. Now, again, I had a couple people come up last week and say, well, I didn't know that. For example, I didn't know Baptists weren't Protestants. I thought we were Protestants. And you may not agree with everything I've said, but you ought to know why you're a Baptist. If you call yourself a Baptist, you ought to know why. And there's probably hundreds of reasons that, you know, that I could list. These are, in my mind, the top 10. So get them fixed in your mind. Understand why you're Baptist. Somebody asks you why you're Baptist. If you don't remember anything else, you can say, I'm a Baptist because Baptists believe in eternal security. And I believe in eternal security. I'm Baptist because I believe the Bible is the only standard that we need. Pick out a couple of them and be ready to tell them why. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher, had a big church in London, preached in Europe and preached in America. Won many, many people to Christ. His father was a pastor of a state church, the Anglican Church of England. Charles Spurgeon got saved, 15 years old, and he started studying the Bible. And as he studied, he discovered that the Baptists were more based on the Bible than the Anglicans were. And so he became a Baptist. And his mother came to him not too long after that and said, Charles, your father and I prayed for you for a long time that you would get saved. But we didn't want you to be a Baptist. And Charles looked at his mom and said, Mom, God answered that prayer like he has so many others. He not only gave you what you asked for, but he gave you a blessing on top of it. Again, I challenge you. Get in this book. Don't just accept it because I said it. Get in this book, study it, and see if we don't line up with what this book says.
All right, we're going to stand, have a word of prayer, and be dismissed.